pictures, we cannot really dwell into detail in every single statement. But Imam Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, is saying here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is in need of Him. Everything is in need of Him. And everything is easy for Him. And He is not in need of anything. And He is attributed with, nothing is like Him. And He is attributed with the hearing and sight. Then of course we move on to Imam Tahawi saying, خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِعِلْمِهِ وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقْدَارًا وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا وَلَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَجْرِي بِتَقْدِيرِهِ وَمَشِيَتِهِ. خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِعِلْمِهِ means He created the creation purposely. There's a purpose for your creation. And for every creation, there's a purpose. So it was not just a coincidence, like some people think, or some people believe, that this is all a coincidence. H2O and H2O, all of a sudden, made other H2Os, and then they made trees and animals and planets and galaxies and physics and distances and iron and steel and silver and gold and diamond and all these things. Of course, if you want to go that way, of course, science doesn't also support that either, in that sense that we're not saying the Big Bang theory is a total lie, nor are we saying that selective evolution is a total lie. Evolution is a biological process. Your bodies adapt biologically to the environment that you live in. If any of you has taken biology, and most of you here are educated, alhamdulillah, you know that the first thing they teach you in biology, that a human being is a product of his environment. Right? So he's my microbiology friend. He always has consensus with me about these things. Since we both are microbiology majors. Okay. So therefore, of course, there's some sort of selective evolution, in a sense that adaptation, if you want to say it. But not that, okay, monkeys, and where monkeys were, what did monkeys were created from? They're just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created just monkeys like that, and then they became humans? What happened before monkeys came? What were monkeys? Worms? Okay. So, we have then, everything goes back to H2O. And then that first H2O, who created that first H2O? Where did that first H2O came from? First drop of what they say, everything came from, oh very good. Well, let's go back. Of course, we don't agree. But for intellectual argument, let's go back to the very, very, very first thing that was created. Where did it come from? Who created it? First H. We have, okay, they say two H's and one O, right? First H, where did it come from? And the first O, where did it come from? And how come there was two H, not three H? And how come there was one O to make that molecule? There was not two O's. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. Allah said, everything we have created it with a certain destiny and certain limit. And therefore, Allah asks,
أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ
أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ. He who creates, is he like he who doesn't create? Impossibility. Impossibility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, it was not coincidence, it created purposely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for the creation and nothing was hidden from Him. Because as you know, we said yesterday about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu wa arda wa karrama wajha, that he said, Allah knew what happened. He knows what happened. And He knows what will happen. And He knows what didn't happen. If it had happened, how would it have happened? He knows that nothing is hidden from him. Because if something is hidden from him, then he's not attributed with knowledge. He doesn't know everything then. And that contradicts the meaning and the concept of God. Impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed with the attributes of perfection. And then Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَعَلِمَ مَا هُمْ عَامِلُونَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ. He knows what they will do, meaning what we will do, not only us, what the atoms will do, what the protons will do, what the neutrons will do, everything, what they will do before He willed for their creation. Barakallahu feek. And He ordered us, and He knows exactly what we will do throughout our entire lifespans. He knows what we will do throughout our entire lifespans before our creation. Yet, He ordered us to obey Him, and He forbade us to disobey Him. However, everything that happens, whether you obey or disobey, it happens because your will will only be executed, whether your will to obey or disobey, your will, because you have will, you have irada. You can now stand up, or you came here to pray. Or you can now turn right next to your door, next to your neighbor, and talk about your fellow brother next to you. He doesn't know anything. You disobeyed. Or you sit and listen and learn, for example, with the niyyah of acquiring knowledge, inshallah, then you obey. You have a will. That will, to do the good or the bad, basically, of course, you're doing the bad because of yourself and your deviations and your hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and gave you this ability. The brain, say with the brain, now you can choose the right from the wrong. But then human beings, of course, they choose wrong for many reasons. Yet, your will cannot be executed until Allah's permission for it to be executed is granted. Is this clear? So we don't fall into those people who believe that a slave is forced to do something. Jabr. Some people think that Allah forces people. In the old days, we had a Jabriya. That's a sect. It still exists to a certain point. Where people say, well, whatever I do, Allah willed for me to do. So I was forced to. I had really no choice. I'm stripped from any choice. Total no choice. So therefore, I am doing this because it's not. Of course, that negates accountability. That negates accountability. It is not just of me to put a gun to his head and say, if you don't drink this tea, I will kill you. So he drinks the tea and then I say, why did you drink my tea? But that's not just. He says, well, you're forcing me, now you're accounting me for this? That's not right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil, al-just. Therefore, he did not force you to do the sins. There's no forcing involved. You chose. But you chose by the capability that Allah gave you. At the same time, you don't have the entire, and that's as far as we're going to go into this, because we don't want to go too much on Qadar. At the same time, you are not absolutely, your will is not absolutely free to do whatever you want. In other words, everything you want to do, your will is hanged and is subjugated by the will of Allah.
وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Your will, basically the ayah means, your will not be executed unless the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits its execution. Naam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Yahdi man yasha. Imam Tahawi says now, Yahdi man yasha. وَيَعْصُمُ وَيُعَافِي فَضْلَهُ وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَخْذِلُ وَيَبْتَلِي عَدْلَهُ. This is very powerful. Basically, the Imam Tahawi says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wants, protects them, and keeps them safe out of His kindness and generosity. Allah protects you, guides you, keeps you safe out of His generosity, due to His generosity. At the same time, Allah misguides you, makes you suffer, makes you go through hardships out of His just. Out of His just. So, He leads astray whoever He wills. Disgraces them, afflicts them with hardships out of His just. Of course, there are some people, especially some elderly, I've heard that if someone commits dhulm against them, aggression, they say, may Allah make dhulm against you like you did dhulm to me. That is kufr, of course. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do dhulm. Transgression. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with being just, not with being unjust. That's an impossibility. So be careful. And then Imam Tahawi comes back. صلوا على رسول الله وعليه. To say again about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مُتَعَالٍ عَنِ الْأَضْدَادِ وَالْأَنْدَادِ. Which means, He is above being attributed with opposites or equals. Again, we're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is above being attributed with opposites or equals. Opposites or equals entail comparison. And you only compare if they are from the same thing. You compare two students. You compare two creations. But the creator and the creation, there is no comparison. One is creator, the other is creation. Therefore, there are no equals and there are no opposites. In any way, shape, fashion, or form. No one can ward off His decree. لا رد لقضائه. If Allah wills for something, no one can ward off that decree. وَلَا مُعْقِبَ لِحُكْمِهِ وَلَا غَالِبَ لِأَمْرِهِ. No one can void His sentence. If He sentenced, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or decree somebody to hell or heaven, no one can prevent or stop that sentence. No one can overpower His commands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam Tahawi said, آمَنَّا بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ وَأَيْقَنَّا أَنَّ كُلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِهِ. We believe in all that. We have complete faith in Him. And we firmly believe in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're going to the second chapter, or the chapter 6 here, page 92, about the prophecies and the prophets. We actually kind of finished the portion, or most of the portion, that has to do with at-tawheed. But not yet, because Tahawi rahimahullah, he figures it's very important, he comes back to it. You'll see throughout the text, restresses it again. Allah is not like the creation. Allah does not resemble anything. We'll see it again. But basically, up to here, now how many lectures we have been? 1, 2, 4? We have finished the parts of Tawheed. So inshallah, up to this, I would like you to review these things and read and all these things. And inshallah, come up with questions. Imam al-Tahawi says, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدَهُ الْمُصْطَفَى وَنَبِيَّهُ الْمُجْتَبَى وَرَسُولَهُ الْمُرْتَضَى. Which means that the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his most exalted worshipper. Abdahu al-Mustafa. Really, it is the chosen. Instead of this, so somebody who is, inshallah, chosen. It's not exalted. Chosen worshipper. Mustafa from istifa. Istifa means chosen and picked. And to be accurate only. Not that the Prophet ﷺ is not the most exalted worshipper. He by definition is the most exalted worshipper. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The Prophet ﷺ is the chosen worshipper. And the... Well, now we have the chosen prophet, I see. Okay, the chosen prophet and the beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, because the prophecy, as you all know, is not acquired. It is earned. It's not earned, it's acquired. Mix that up. In other words, you cannot earn it. You cannot say, well, I'm going to be so good, and I'm going to become a prophet. Like some people did in some areas in Pakistan, for example. They said, I am the last messenger. What happened to the... There's no such thing. We don't have a final... The final prophet and the seal of the prophets, which means the final of the prophets, is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we mean Muhammad ibn Abdullah, not Muhammad Mirza or Muhammad Yahya or anybody. It means Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim al-Qurashi al-Hashimi, who was born in Mecca and passed away in Medina. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the final messenger and the final prophet. No prophets after him. No messengers after him. His message is the last message. For the happiness, prosperity, growth, and hope of the entire human kind. Everybody, welcome to the table of Islam. Because this Islam is not for you. Don't be stingy with Islam. Islam is not simply for you. Islam for everybody. Everybody needs Islam. Wallahi, everybody needs Islam. You go into any airport and you say, I have in my bag. Don't say the name first, because now the media just tarnished us, right? It's because what we do, not Islam. Islam is innocent. But what we have done to Islam is what we have done to Islam. It's not what they did. In Malaysia, you know, Indonesia and Malaysia, you know that Malaysia is the biggest Islamic country as far as population, right? How many? 255 million? I think more than that. Almost 300 in Indonesia, right? You know how those people became Muslims? There was not even one battle. There was not even one sword risen. There was not even one anything. You know how they became? 300 million people now. The biggest Islamic country in the world, Indonesia. And then Southeast Asia followed suit. You have Malaysia, you have Singapore, you have some of Burma, all these places. They became Muslim because of a handful of Muslims who used to go to do business there. Handful. How many Muslims do we have in Rochdale? What's the population? 10,000? Wallahi, all of you will be accountable in the Day of Judgment. Wallah, all of you. All of us will be accountable in the Day of Judgment. What, you think you're coming here so you can work and live and not contribute back to society? This society needs you. You should not be just like people who just use people, parasites. We're not parasites. Muslims are not parasites. You take and you give back. And this society needs that people contribute positively back to this society by providing, by showing them that Islam is about love and about kindness and about mercy and about understanding and about tolerance. Islam is not there, is not here, and Muslims are not here or anywhere in the world to kill people, nor are they to hijack people's planes, nor are they to cause explosions and death and suffer and torture. That's not what Islam is all about. Islam is there to provide people with hope and happiness in this life and in the hereafter. That's what Islam is all about. And even if they don't agree, It doesn't mean you have a license to kill. Nobody has a license to kill. You keep working. You know, if the Prophet ﷺ did what we do today, because today somebody hurts you, oh Allah, take revenge, kill him. Oh Allah, strip them away from everything. Oh Allah, do this to them. Oh, imagine the Prophet ﷺ for 1 minute, he came with the message, and he tells them, please believe in Islam. Oh, we don't want to. And they started killing, they wanted to kill him. And he says, oh Allah, destroy them. Everybody is destroyed. Then where was the... Most of us wouldn't be Muslims today. Because after he calls you for Allah a million times, you reject, then he loses hope in you, and he makes dua against you, then we're all done. It's a done deal. Nobody becomes... Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, made it before. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, قال ربي لا تذر من الكافرين على الأرض ديارة. After he made da'wah for them, 950 years, he's making da'wah day and night. Did you know that? Huh? No? 950 years, he's making da'wah day and night. Every day, every night, he's going, please believe in Allah. Same people, same group, they say, oh no, we don't want to believe. And then they hurt him. And they try to kill him. And they belittle him. And they try to humiliate him. Every single day, day and night. That's all he does. His job is a prophet and a messenger. He needs to go and give him da'wah. After 900 years, he said, you know, it's been 950 years. Oh Allah, these people are not going to believe in me. Oh Allah, don't leave any of them. That's it, destroy them all. So Allah destroyed them all. Okay. But our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's a prophet of mercy. He came as a mercy to everything. He came as a mercy to everything. And therefore, he never made dua against me. You know that the Jewish neighbor that the Prophet ﷺ had in Mecca, for years, not 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 1 week, 2 weeks, months, every day that Jewish neighbor dumps his trash in front of the house of the Prophet ﷺ, the most honorable of the creation. Takes it. I don't like this man. And the Prophet every day goes, become Muslim, believe in Allah, the only one. No. Okay. Years, months and days come by every day. The Prophet ﷺ simply sweeps that trash off, takes it and takes it to its proper location. The Prophet of Allah, not a Muslim, a Jewish man. And then one day, there was no trash in front of his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you know what happened? The Prophet ﷺ got worried. He said, let me go visit this man. Maybe he's sick. So he went and visited him. Knocked on his door. He said, are you okay? You need any help? You need any medication? You need anything? He said, why are you asking? He said, because I woke up today, I didn't see any trash. I was thinking that you might be sick. So I'm here to help if you need anything. And the man looks, he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ. After all these days, he could have said, oh Allah, destroy him. Next day he would be destroyed. Not even next day, right the second. But was that the message of the Prophet? No. His message was a message of mercy. That was his message. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب. صلوا على رسول الله وعلى. So he was born. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, as we said, he's the final messenger and prophet. His father's name is Abdullah, and his grandfather's name is Abdul Muttalib or Shaybatul Hamd. Abdul Muttalib was his nickname, Shaybatul Hamd was his real name. Tayyib. Abdul Muttalib's father who? Hashim. And Hashim's father who? Huh? Abdul Manaf. And Abdul Manaf's father who? طيب اللهم صل على الحبيب المصطفى الهاشم His mother Amina bintu the daughter of Wahab right Amina bintu Wahab and Wahab is the son of who Huh? Son of who? Abd Manaf. So you see how they both come from the same origin? Tayyib. He was born the year of when the Abyssinians invaded Mecca with the elephants. Am al-Fil. The year of elephant, they call it, right? And lived, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, approximately 63 years. Tayyib. Allah. Of course, as you know, very brief seerah. We don't want to go too much into seerah because this is a whole different topic. But his father, Abdullah, passed away before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And then his mother, Amina, took care of him until he was approximately 6 years old. And then she passed away. Look at this, these circumstances. I mean, you know, you're born at that time. Everybody, especially at that time, in a tribal society, the father is everything. You know, my father, everybody goes, I am the son of such and such. Until now. Imagine back then. But you know why, one of the reasons scholars say why the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away before he was born? So he doesn't say, my father, he says, my Lord, my Lord. So he says, Rabbi, Rabbi. Allah. At the age of 6, she gave him, when she passed away, of course, his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, Shaybat al-Hamd, took care of him. And that lasted for about 3 years. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 9 years of age, his grandfather passed away, and now custody went to his uncle Abu Talib. Of course, Abu Talib is Sayyidina Ali's father. And Abu Talib's name is what? Who knows what Abu Talib's name is? $10. Huh? Okay, £10. Abd Manaf. Abu Talib's name is Abd Manaf. But he had a son named Talib. That's why he's Abu Talib, the father of Talib. Huh? Abu Talib was a poor man, had lots of sons, about 10 of them. You know, he had Aqil, Ja'far, Ali, etc., Talib, etc., etc. And he took custody of him because he was the only living, residing uncle in Mecca. Because the rest, like who? You have Hamza, radiallahu anhu, wal-Abbas. Huh? Hamza, the lion of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? Asadullah. Hamza, Asadullah. Wa Asadu Rasulihi. And the lion of his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But Abu Talib took him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from basically age 9 through about age 25, he resided about, that makes it approximately 16 years, living in the house, in the small house of Abu Talib. Basically being raised by Abu Talib's wife and with Abu Talib's sons, and specifically those who shared the room with him was Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib after he was born. And who was the mother of Abu Talib? What was her name? Fatima bint Asad. Her father's name is Asad, lion. Remember what I told you yesterday about Arabs always naming their sons tough names? Her father is named Asad, lion. So her name was Fatima. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, I am the son of Fawatim, which means of the Fatimas. Because he used to call Fatima bint Asad, the wife of Abu Talib, he used to call her my mother. Because she raised him, kind of. He was 9. She raised him, took care of him, like her own sons. طيب. We don't want to go again. The seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is beautiful, but we don't have time. Inshallah, some other time we'll go over it. Of course. course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accounted him with delivering the message, he was approximately 40 years of age. As you know, before that, he had married As-Sayyida Khadija Al-Kubra, Ummu al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu anha wa ardaha. And Sayyida Khadija Al-Kubra, again, is someone that we barely mention. And I think she might be upset at us if we keep doing that. Sallu ala Rasulullah. Khadija Al-Kubra, her role was essential and instrumental at the beginning of the message. And when he came from the cave and he said, cover me. Zammiluni, zammiluni, dathiruni, dathiruni. Who was there to give him the cover? Khadija Al-Kubra, radiallahu anha. Therefore, the scholar says she is the absolute first human being to believe in him. And we understand all that those who believe in him, of course, these are differences again, it doesn't really matter. The first three who believed in him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are Abu Bakr, wa Ali, wa Khadija, radiallahu anhuma. Of course, the chronological disorder is a matter of dispute, and which doesn't really make any difference because they're all among the most pious and most honorable of Sahaba. But some of the scholars lean towards that Khadija radiallahu anha was the first one absolutely to believe in him because she was his wife and she was the first one in contact, and then Ali and then Abu Bakr. But again, we say from the kids or from the young boys, Sayyidina Ali was the first one. From the men, Sayyidina Abu Bakr was the first one. From the women, Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra was the first one. So this way we give the first place to everybody. So everybody's happy. Everybody is number one. Alhamdulillah. From the women, Sayyida Khadija. From the boys or young boys, Sayyidina Ali. From the men, adult men, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa arda. And then, after that, he delivered the message in Mecca for 13 years. Age 40, and 13 is how many? 53. And then he migrated to Medina and stayed there for 10 years, which makes it what? And then he left us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he only left us temporarily, inshallah. Maybe not. طيب. And then of course, Tahawi rahimahullah says, وَإِنَّهُ خَاتَمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَإِمَامُ الْأَتْقِيَاءِ وَسَيِّدُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَحَبِيبُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And he is the last of the prophets. So no one can come again and say, well, you know, this such and such is a prophet. Well, no, we don't have any prophets, thank you. وَإِمَامُ الْأَتْقِيَاءِ. And he is the leader of those who have taqwa. And he is وَسَيِّدُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, the master of mursaleen, the master of messengers. And he is the beloved to Allah, رب العالمين. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطاهرين. And then At-Tahawi rahimahullah emphasizes this point. And remember, this is At-Tahawi saying that in the year 200 of Hijrah. He says, وَكُلُّ دَعْوَ النُّبُوَّةِ بَعْدَهُ فَغَيٌّ وَهَوَى. And any claim to prophethood after him is falsehood and deviation. Any claim, regardless who it is, claims prophecy after him is deviation. And the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah are overwhelming. I don't want to go into details in them. Inshallah ta'ala, they are there in the page and you can look at them. And then Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala said, وَهُوَ الْمَبْعُوثُ إِلَىٰ عَامَّةِ الْجِنِّ وَكَافَّةِ الْوَرَىٰ بِالْحَقِّ وَالْهُدَىٰ وَبِالنُّورِ وَبِالضِّيَىٰ. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one who has been sent to all of the jinn and all of the mankind with the truth and guidance. So, in other words, the jinn are accountable people. Because remember what are Ya Sheikh Ali? Where is Ali? Ya Sheikh Ali, I don't see you. Ya Sheikh Ali, what is an accountable individual?
Mukallaf.
Baligh. Aqil. So, sane, pubescent, and has heard the da'wah of Islam. We didn't say human necessarily, did we? So, jinn also can be accountable. Huh? Now, we're talking about jinns at the last of night, so you can go have nice dreams. Allah. So, the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa alayhi was sent to all the jinn and all of mankind. Bin nuri wal huda, wa bil haqqi wa bil diya. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the jinn in the Quran on their behalf and says, among us, which means, وَمِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ. Among us, those who are pious and those who are not. Therefore, al-jinn are two kinds, a believer and a non-believer. The jinn that are believers are not are called ifrit or afarit. And the non-believers are called shayateen or shaytan. Because shaytan is jinn, but he's a non-believer. But the ones who are Muslims or believers, they are not called shayateen, they are called afarit or ifrit. So therefore, you should not call your fellow brother shaytan or devil. Because this is an attribute of a kafir, and your fellow brother is Muslim. So if you want to call him like you're a jinn, tell him you are afrit. Huh? Because you know you do all these things, naughty things, right? Okay. So you don't call him devil. Because devils or shaitan is a non-mu'min believer, non-Muslim believer. Jinn, afwan. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for the Quran, and I'm not talking that out of my own pocket, because as you know, we always substantiate things from the book and the authentic sunnah. Tayyib. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for the Quran with Sulaiman alayhi salam,
قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ.
قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. Because one of the ifrit of the jinn, because in Sayyidina Sulaiman's majlis, he doesn't want to have jinn that don't believe. He have jinn that believe. قَالَ عِفْرِيتْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. طيب. That's about it, of course. All these things that people talk about jinns are almost, most of them are hocus pocus, okay? And you don't have to worry about the jinn, because it's not our job to establish all these forms of communications with them. We should be establishing forms of communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reading the Quran and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not worry about all these things. What happens? I got divorced, maybe they did that black magic on me and they put these things. Yeah, akhi, read the Quran, don't worry. Anybody has problems with the jinn, read the Quran. Because the Quran is protection. Not just hanging the Quran. Now we have this, see, I have the hijab here, or ta'weed, I hang it. Akhi, I didn't say there's a big problem with that, even though that was not done. But if it has Quran, only Quran, it may be permissible. But why do you hang? Read it. Read the Quran. The Quran is there for you to read. It's there for you to practice. And not just so we can look at it and say, oh, mashallah, Allahu Akbar, beautiful. I know, we know it's beautiful. It's the book of Allah, of course it's beautiful. But it's there for you to get used to it. So it runs off of your tongue, so you can see and feel the sweetness, and then you will have the protection of the Quran. But if I believe in the Quran, read the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, في القرآن,
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا. You want hijab? Anyone wants hijab? Here's the hijab. Allah tells you, if you want hijab, read the Quran. The meaning of the ayah, if you read the Quran, then we will make between you and those who don't believe a hijab, a barrier. They cannot touch you. Read the Quran. هذا القرآن الكريم العظيم. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says قرآن على هذا القرآن العظيم, we say? Because the Quran عظيم. فيا حبيبي, if you leave the Quran, then nothing will help you. Because the Quran is your wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. by reciting the Quran and practicing the Quran, Allah loves you then. And if Allah loves you, who cares who's going to be your enemy? And then, of course, we talk about the Quran. And Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَالْإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مِنْهُ بَدَى بِلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ قَوْلًا وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَحْيًا وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَقًّا وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْحَقِيقَةِ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَكَلَامِ الْبَرِيَّةِ فَمَنْ سَمِعَهُ فَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Tahawi rahimahullah is talking about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran al-Kareem. And he's saying that al-Quran al-Kareem is Kitabullah, the book of Allah. And we mean by the book of Allah, it is not compiled by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor by Jibreel alayhi salam. It is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for it to be. And no one had anything to do but except delivering of that message, whether it was Jibreel alayhi salam or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivering this message. Of course, that was Jibreel. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not simply a delivery man. Be careful, this leads to kufr, huh? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not simply a delivery man like some people say. This leads to kufr. Why? They didn't understand the difference between a delivery man and an ambassador. A delivery man is a man that takes this. Here, I delivered it to you, Sheikh Mas'ud. Thank you. Bye. But an ambassador is one that is sent by the government, of any government, let's say, representing the government and carrying a message of that government. And what he does is representing that government. And an insult on him means an insult on the government. The Prophet ﷺ was more honorable than an ambassador. He was the ambassador for mankind. For the, not only for mankind, for the entire creation. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So be careful of these people who think he's just a delivery man. Tarish. He's just a delivery. Huh? This leads to kufr. No, disrespect of the Prophet ﷺ leads to kufr. Wal-iyadu billah. At the same time, I will take you to the other side of other people who give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attributes of Allah. And those who give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attributes of Allah are also kuffar equally. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of the creation who came to us with the message and to demonstrate that message. An ongoing demonstration. Representing that message, practicing this message, figuring this message and telling this message to people, basically embodying this message and walking to it. Therefore, Sayyidah Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu anha wa ardaha, you know what she did, what she said about him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi sahih al-Imam Muslim? Kana Qur'an yamshi bayna an-nas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a walking Qur'an. Not a delivery man. He was a walking Qur'an among people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 2 minutes or not yet? Okay. So, basically whoever says, Imam Tahawi is saying, whoever says that the book of Allah, Al-Quran Al-Azim, is from the compilation of a human being, then he has denounced Islam, departed from the circle of Islam, and became a kafir. Wal-iyadu billah ta'ala. Because the Al-Quran is not on the compilation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor is it the compilation of Jibreel alayhi salam. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallama ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi. So inshallah we'll take 5 minute break and then we'll start. Ta'alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin. Tayyib.